that are going to be disappointed by this. I want to hear their opinion of it.
Yeah.
Oh, boss, what am I late? The covenant, oh, boss, I am so sorry, I'm only right.
Let's reconvene. We are not doing very well in terms of time. So what I'm going to suggest is that we take the UIF, NetLeg and productivity one after the other, and then after that we engage, ask questions of clarity, comments and all. Can I give this opportunity to UIF to give us the report? And again, congratulations UIF on a very good a job well done, NetLeg and productivity SA in advance. Thank you very much. Over to you, Dr. Boas.
Thank you, Chairperson and committee, portfolio committee members. The structure of our presentation will start with the overview of the unemployment insurance fund. The second item will be our performance information, where we will deal with the performance highlights and also financial performance. We'll also talk about the unemployment alleviation schemes, where we'll delve into the reintegration into the labor market. The training layoff scheme, the department has already reported on that, and also social responsible investment. Then we'll do the conclusion. Chairperson, in terms of... Chairperson, in terms of our mandate, that's slide number 3, we're talking about our own act, which is the Unemployment Insurance Act, and also the Unemployment Insurance Contributions Act, which governs the collection of revenue to the fund. Now, our vision is there. With regard to our vision, the point that we want to stress is the issue of alleviation of poverty in South Africa, because we actually, during difficult times, we provide money to unemployed South Africans and those who are coming from foreign countries. With regard to our mission, the Unemployment Insurance Fund is mission number one, Chairperson, is rendering an effective and accessible service to all stakeholders. We can safely say we have been able to achieve this particular mission, because we operate in 125 labor centers and 84 of them have processing functions. Being a sustainable organization with sufficient reserves, we believe that we are indeed sustainable as an organization. We don't have to deal with issues of going concern. And the financial statements will indicate that indeed we do have sufficient reserves. With regard to administering the fund professionally, the AG has indicated that our report is clean, and we believe that we are able to achieve that particular mission. Continuing with the overview, one point here, Chairperson, that I want to highlight is that our contribution has remained at 2%, 1% from the employer and 1% from the employee, which indicates that we have not been in a crisis which wanted us to increase the contribution. The slide number 6 talks about where we conduct our business. There are 9 provincial offices, 125 labor centers that members of the public can be assisted for UIF benefits. These labor centers can further service more than 820 visiting points within our geographical points, which indicates that we are indeed accessible. We are everywhere. Now, the fund has increased the number of sites at which decentralized processing of claims could take place from 57 to 81. That talks to slide number 7, Chairperson. What this indicates is that We have actually moved functions from head office and provincial offices, and we have located them at the coal face of a service delivery. You see in Gauteng that if you go to a remote area like Springs, you'll find that if you make an application, it's going to be taken there and it's going to be processed and paid in that center. So there's no need for applications to be driven from one point to the other, which means we have actually succeeded in bringing services to the people. Now, with regard to governance, which is very important, the AG has indicated that our report is indeed clean. We were able to have unqualified audit from the year 2005 and 6, and we have sustained this until the financial year 2010-2011. Now, compliance to legislation is a cornerstone of our operations, and we will continue to strive to improve performance. We are doing this working very closely with the accounting authority, with the Director General and the UIF board, in addressing this strategic intent and challenges that the fund has been facing. With regard to operational performance, we wish to report that in our database we are covering about 1.3 million employers, both from the commercial, domestic and the taxi industry, which indicates, Chairperson, that we cover employers both from the formal and also the informal sector. Also, the taxi industry, there has been an increase on the number of taxi employers who have registered with the fund. Overall, Chairperson, you see that the increase overall in terms of new employers is 4.94%. Also, with regard to employees, the total employees which we are servicing is 7.9 million, also both from the commercial, domestic and the taxi sector. The increase has been 2.09%. If you look into the total number of new employers, it's about 162,000 new employees in our database, which means we have actually increased the coverage of unemployed people, and more workers have social protection in the country. This slide talks about how much we have paid. With regard to unemployment, we have paid 4.1 billion. In terms of illness, 232 million. Maternity, 659 million. Though the dependence benefits, which are benefits that you pay when a worker passes on, is 317 million. The total amount that we pay, Chairperson, is 5.3 billion, which indicates that we have actually released a lot of money into the South African economy, and that has contributed to demand of goods and services and eventually the creation of employment. In terms of the number of people that we're able to service, the total number that we have paid is 732,000 people, compared to a bigger number, which is 779,000. The overall decrease is 0.9%. We know that can be ascribed to the period during 2009 and 10, where there was economic meltdown. This slide, Chairperson, just wants to indicate to the committee the level of service delivery. Now, the first column talks about the people who come to claim the UIF, and you see that the total there is 751,000. Approved, those that were able to pay eventually, is 732, which means we have an approval rate of 97.3%, which means the majority of people, 97.3% of people who came for our services were able to be paid. The total approval rate, Chairperson, is at a high level because it indicates that employers are complying with the law. Most people who come to claim, there has been a declaration that has been given. The rejection rate of 2.6% is because in most cases we still find that some employees are not covered by the UIF. Employers are not registering them. The other problem is that people come to apply after a period of 6 months. Although the claim is rejected, there is an appeals committee which consists of workers, business and government, and also community constituency, who will then condone, if reasons that are given are reasonable, that application. Just to note again, Chairperson, on the same slide, that the rejection rate in Limpopo has been high. It's 8.3, it's the highest. And we, as the management and the board of the fund, have noted that, and we have put some intervention in terms of advocacy and telling more people more about the UI to come and claim earlier. And we have seen this current financial year, the drop in that rejection rate, which means the interventions are working very well. I won't spend time on that slide, Chairperson. The indication slide indicates that the majority of the claims that we pay are in Gauteng. You can see is 1.8 billion, followed by Western Cape with 955 million and KwaZulu-Natal. So that's where most of the of our beneficiaries are allocated. With regard to human resource management, the people that we work with, the UIF head office staff establishment consists of 455 posts. 425, which is 93% of the posts, are filled, and 30, which is 6.5%, is the vacancy rate. So the vacancy rate is also very low, is 6.5, which is also not acceptable, because we know it's impossible to achieve a vacancy rate of a 0%. Out of the 93% of the filled posts, 56.5 are females, which is women, and 43.5 are males. We also want to indicate that 2% of our fund staff complements are people who are living with disabilities, which means we are in line with employment equity. At the end of the 2010-11 financial year, 33% of the employees at senior management level, we call them SMS, which is level 13 to 15, were sitting at 33%. But we also want to report that during this financial year, as at the 1st of October 2011, women represent 55.5. I can't find this. Slide 15. All right, slide number 16 talks about the Chairperson, we've already indicated that the...
I can't follow this slide 15, because there are figures that I can't find on my page.
But I think, Chairperson, I don't know where the problem is, because that, this is the...
Chairperson, if I can help, all that's happened is that your pagination is different on the computer to the printed copy. So this... Yeah, on our first copy is page 15, it's on page 15, so it's moved it to the next page of the computer, it's not there.
Oh.
The information is there, but the page numbers are wrong, that's all. That's also on page 15 on the paper copy, that's page
15. Okay, we apologize for that, Chairperson. On slide 15, we talk about the vacancy rate. Which is the slide that talks employment and vacancies by salary plan for the year ended 31st March 2011. We can see that at low level, the entry point, level 3 to 6, the vacancy rate is 0.08%. As you go higher, it is 11%. At level 9 and 12, which is middle management, 6.85%. At professional level, it is 25%. And this 25%, Chairperson, can be attributed to the new posts that have been created, that of a chief director and also of a director of organizational development, which were created in the previous financial year. Now, when we talk about the number of appointments, promotions, and termination for the year, 31st March 2011, we have seen, Chairperson, that in level 3 to 6, we have appointed 16 people, we have promoted 12, and those who have terminated their services, 8. In terms of 7 and 8 is 3, 10, 12, which means that we also promote people from internal. and level 9 to 12 is one appointment, four promotions, one termination. And with regard to senior management, we did not appoint anybody. One person was promoted from within the ranks of the fund, and the termination was zero, which means the turnover rate at that particular level is low. Now, there are reasons why staff are leaving the department with regard to the UI. The first is those who have resigned to seek greener pastures is six. Those who have passed on, may their souls rest in peace, is two. Retirement is one. But we also conduct disciplinary processes, and we have dismissed two employees, and the total is 11. Now, also, when you talk about misconduct and discipline, we have given six people written warning. Final written warning was four. Those who we took to disciplinary hearing who were found not guilty was zero, which indicates that we only disciplined where there is necessity to do so. Where cases were withdrawn because of wrong charges also is zero, which means we take our time to ensure that we discipline where there is a need. We've dismissed two. Those who resigned due to misconduct before an action could be taken is two. So the total is 14. In terms of training and development, chairperson, we participated in creating initiatives through implementation of internship programs where 104 interns were appointed, 19 were at the head office in 94 Chase Street, and 85 were deployed to provinces. We need to indicate that most of these interns end up being permanently employed within the Department of Labor before even their contract comes expires, which indicates that those that we train, we give them good training in such a way that they are employed. We obtained 340 officials in more than 30 accredited training initiatives. We have appointed 24 officials. We have given bursaries to 24 officials. Chairperson, this slide talks about financial performance. Contributions collected increased by 5.37%. I'm not going to go to deal with the figures because the second slide has that. Investment revenue increased by 2.9%. Benefits payments decreased because of the economy was stabilizing from economic meltdown by 5.7%. Our biggest achievement also talks about the surplus for the year. Net surplus increased by 38% from 6.85% to 9.46 billion. And the reason is because there was a decrease in benefit payments, there was an increase in contribution, and there was also a huge reversal of explicit prudence reserve on benefits payment. Now, the total investment portfolio has also increased by 20% from 43.7 billion. In 2009 and 10 to 52.6 billion in the financial year under review. The slides there, Chairperson, I'm not going to go through it. You can see for yourself how the financial performance has been like. Page 22, just an indication of graphically how the contribution has been increasing. And also investment revenue also is sitting at 3.55 billion. This slide is important, Chairperson, because it indicates that 83% of our expenditure goes towards the payment of the business, which means it goes to the core business of the unemployment insurance fund. Admin cost is only 5%, operating cost is 3%, and staff cost is 8%. Unemployment alleviation scheme also 1%, which also can be regarded as the core business of the fund. The money that we make, this is how it is invested. You see, Chairperson, that this is a responsible investment because 61% of our money is sitting in bonds, and these are less risky because you don't want to speculate with the workers' money. In terms of equity, it's 15%, but I also need to indicate that this equity is also hedged. It means if, for instance, the stock market goes bad, there is a limit at where our... on the amount of money that we can use because of hedging. The fixed deposit is 18%, promissory note 3%, bills is also 3%. But on the board chairperson, we also need to indicate that at around 11 billion is sitting with government, which means the money that we also make is contributing towards the service delivery of government with building of hospitals and roads and things like that, the infrastructure. In terms of also performance information, and I'll just go quickly, chairperson, with regard to our achievement, which talks about performance. We wanted to enroll 800 people, but we ended up with 1,976, which means our target has been indicated. These are the people who we are training in autism development program. In terms of strategic risk, we have identified all strategic risk, and we monitored as per the set time frames and implementation of management action plans monitored. This is very important, Chairperson, because it talks about fraud that can take place. So risk management processes are very important. We wanted to finalize 80% of the cases that we received of fraud and misconduct. We were able to exceed that target because we were able to deal with 97%. Also, with regard to issues of risk appetite framework, we're able to monitor our risk with regard to that risk appetite framework, which indicates the amount of risk that you can tolerate within your organization. The utilization of a system that is called U-filing, we want employers to use it. We wanted 20% of the increase. We ended up with 73%. We wanted to decentralize functions to a number of 76. We exceeded that target because we ended up decentralizing functions to 84 centers. Now, with regard to revenue, our revenue was supposed to be in line with CPI, which was 4.1%. We also exceeded that target because we were able to increase our revenue by 5.37%. With regard to outstanding overpayments, which we call work and draw, where people go back to work and they still claim UIF, which is in a way we can say it is some fraud. We wanted to collect 15% of that. We ended up exceeding that target. We collected 22% of the balance. With regard to communications, we wanted to reach 15 million audience according to the GCIS All Media Survey by the end of March 2011. Chairperson, the results which were conducted by GCIS and it is contained in their Telma report indicates that we're able to reach 41 million of our stakeholders. And these awareness campaigns, they took out, they took place throughout the country. Now, also we want to indicate that the Minister of Labour has approved the new structure of the Unemployment Insurance Fund. We've seen that the fund is growing, and the Minister has actually supported us in that regard. The structure of the head office has been approved. With regard to audits, all plan audits in line with approved plan have been performed. All quarterly progress reports were issued to the audit committee, which is very important because it indicates that the audit committee, from every quarter, they monitor the issues of governance in the fund. Now, the charters are very important because they govern how we do our business with the board and audit committee. The UIF board and the audit committee have approved the 2010-2011 charters, which means the charters are in line with what is taking place currently. This is very important, Chairperson. We wanted to improve our satisfaction survey by 10% compared to the last satisfaction survey which was indicated. The DG did indicate that the department has conducted this survey. The results are very positive. The 2011 survey report recorded a 78% satisfaction survey versus the 62.7% which was recorded in 2004 survey. And achievement is 26% compared to the 10%. With regard to the turnaround of claims, we wanted to finalize our claims within 5 weeks, 80% thereof. We were able to finalize 73% of our claims within 5 weeks. We did not achieve that particular target, but we can indicate, Chairperson, that the reasons are because the declarations coming from employers are not that good, but there is an improvement compared to previous financial year. This current financial year, we can safely indicate that we have exceeded that target. Now, with regard to the reintegration of workers back into the labor market, we need to indicate that we did a report to the portfolio committee that the previous Minister of Labor piloted a project where he wanted to have skilled people to be artisans so that it's easy to put them back into work. This particular project has yielded the results. We have produced 132 artisans in the areas of fitters and tanners, electricians, boiler makers, and also plumbers. And we need to indicate that most of these people have been absorbed into the labor market. They have been employed. Now, the Minister of Labor has started this financial year a project that will see 3,005 UIF unemployed beneficiaries enter the artisan development programs, which means because there was success, the Minister of Labor is actually expanding that particular project. We have dealt with the issues of training layoff schemes. I don't want to talk about that. The social responsible investment, we have dealt with the chairperson, but what we need to indicate is that for us as the Unemployment Insurance Fund, social responsible investment means you don't only focus on financial returns, you also want to look into social returns. Social returns in this case is people be employed and people not to be retrenched at work. We believe that we have succeeded in that regard as the figures have been indicated there. But the spin-off is that when people are retained at jobs, they contribute to the fund, they don't come and claim, and that actually preserves their benefits in the fund. We do have key challenges, Chairperson, which are outlined on slide 31. We want to improve the turnaround times to finalize our claims. The current economic conditions that are affecting creation and contribute to job losses in the country, for instance, they contribute to declining revenue growth in the fund and also the increased pressure on our operations as we have to pay more people and we have to pay more money. But the fund is in the process of developing service delivery improvement initiatives in order to address these challenges. In very quickly, Chairperson, these are the improvement interventions that we have embarked upon. The first one is youth filing enhancement, which is virtual claims portal. What we are doing there, we're actually coming with a solution where people will claim benefits electronically without coming to labor center. That will save them a lot of transport costs and will make claims to be paid much quicker. On page 33, we just need to indicate that this system that we're talking about, Chairperson, already we are piloting it. It is already working in Kempton Park, Krugersdorp, Pinetown, Cape Town, and in other centers. In terms of active labor market programs, we need to indicate that the fund is engaging active labor market programs with the aim of upskilling unemployed beneficiaries and reintegrating them into the labor market. Reintegration of unemployed beneficiaries will contribute to the job creation initiative of government. We have concluded with those about 5 points, Chairperson, and that is our presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. There are some pages missing in our document, so if you could liaise with the committee secretary, and
okay,
so that we get the pages that are not there.
Okay.
Yeah. Can we give this opportunity now to the who's next? To NetLab. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Let's wait for the question.
Chairperson and members, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Herbert Mkhize. No, seriously, Chetu, thank you for the kind introduction of earlier. I'm the so-called new broom at NEDLAC, but the way things have been going the last 2 weeks, it feels like I'm going to be an old mop very soon. See, I'm going to be assisted today by my colleague, Umesh. I'm going to very briefly do an overview of the work that has been done in the year under review. And then Mr. Dlop will just take us through the financials, and then I will just conclude with a few remarks regarding challenges and the way forward. Chair, so in the process to try and also save on time, I'm going to skip quite a few of the slides. A lot of the background, I think, you know, I'm going to be preaching to the converted. So I think let's just jump straight into the slide regarding the NEDLAC remit, our mission, as per the NEDLAC Act. And essentially, Chair, that the fundamental role of NEDLAC is to strive to promote the goals of economic growth, participation in economic decision-making, and social equity. And that's the bedrock that has guided the organization for the last 17 years. And to do this by trying to seek to reach consensus and conclude agreements on social and economic policy. And in particular, that NEDLAC must consider all proposed labor legislation, that's legislation relating to the labor market policy, before being introduced to Parliament, and also consider all significant changes to social and economic policy before being implemented or introduced to Parliament. Chair, we'll speak the modus operandi in terms of the governance structure. That's also very clear. We all know that NEDLAC is essentially composed of the major social partners, organized business, organized labor, the community participates in the development chamber, and also organized government. Which is a term I heard recently. In the NEDLAC principles, can we skip straight into the engine room, because I think this will just guide some of the activities. The major chambers, obviously the trade and industry chamber, public finance and monetary policy, the labor market chamber, and the development chamber. And then in terms of the standing committees, the Section 70 standing committee, the demarcations committee, and the Tesilico, dealing with the trade, various trade issues. Just to flag at this stage, Chair, that the bulk of the work for a while now and still continues and probably will continue for the next year is around the trade and industry chamber. And so there's a whole range of activities, and I will try and recap on that as well. In the past year, a lot of the focus has also been in the labor market chamber, particularly around the labor market review process. And that process now has been accelerated, as they say, given a upstwakey by the minister. The other thing I think also to watch going forward is that in terms of the standing committees, we are seeing an increasing trend towards an increase in the number of Section 77 applications that are coming through. And I anticipate that this is something that is going to increase going forward, as well as applications for demarcation. Chair, not to spend too much, but just to emphasize the NEDLAC protocol. I think this is a key document and perhaps an important innovation that has happened in the last couple of years to try and give a fairly strict guideline as to how matters are tabled and dealt with in NEDLAC. And I think my sense is that this process is beginning to work fairly well. There are still some gaps, and I think, again, going forward, we need to try and find ways in which we can embed and popularize this protocol and make sure that there's greater understanding between all of the role players regarding the protocol. Chair, very quickly, in terms of the labor market policy work stream, unfortunately, on the overhead here, the color scheme that we've tried to introduce does not come through very clear. I hope in the presentations, we've tried to introduce a bit of a color code. But the yellow would really be areas that have been flagged in the previous financial year. They're ongoing. They haven't quite been completed. The green would be areas that has been flagged in the previous financial year, but has also been completed, or we can sign off on that for this year. The blue, the areas where it has been flagged in the previous year, but it's been concluded in this current financial, not the year under reporting.
Our copies are black and white.
Are your copies? Oh, okay. My apologies. Chair. So there goes the color codes. Okay, let me just talk to you very briefly then, Chair. In terms of the labor market policy review, that obviously is work that's ongoing. As I said, this is going to accelerate. And as the DG has indicated, the Minister has appealed to the social partners to fast-track the process of negotiations. The Decent Country Work Programme, that programme has been launched, and the role for NEDLAC really is around monitoring of that programme. The Social Plan Review, that's complete. The Municipal Systems Bill is complete. The Expanded Public Works Programme, that area has been complete. And recently, about, I think, 2 weeks ago, the Superior Courts Bill has been signed off, and that's now awaiting approval from the Management Committee. Let's just skip to Trade and Industry Policy. Alright, let's just go through that. Yeah, let's speak it. Chair, the Cooperatives Amendment Bill, that's been completed. The Customs Control and Customs Duty Bills, both of those are linked also to the IPAP 2 plan. There's quite a bit of progress that has been made there. A report has been submitted to the Minister of Finance, and we're awaiting feedback from the Minister, and then I think we will also be able to kick off that particular item. The preferential procurement regulations, also very good progress has been made on that. And then I think just to highlight some of the key areas that have been completed, the climate change green paper that has been completed, and the water quality risks report has also been finalized. And then, Chair, the activities around the IPAP 2, the Industrial Policy Action Plan, is ongoing and is quite significant in terms of the current, and I anticipate, the future work program of NEDLAC. And then in the Tesalico Subcommittee, again, dealing with various issues around trade policy and our trade negotiations, again, a burgeoning number of committees dealing with this work. So the Trade and Industry Policy Chamber will, for a long time, still remain, I think, the one that dominates in terms of activity. Chair, in terms of the development policy work stream, the Cooperatives Amendment Bill, as I said, this is cross-cutting. It was also been dealt with. It's a joint committee with trade and industry. Cooperatives Amendment Bill is now, the report has been finalized. The climate change green paper, again, that report has been completed. It's another one of those cross-cutting issues. The Rental Housing Amendment Bill, good progress there, and I think the report is also about to be finalized. In terms of is it on there? It's not on there. The Green Paper on Land Reforms has just recently been submitted to NEDLAC. I mean, this is an issue that has also been on the agenda in the previous year. The process now is going to kick off very seriously. We've just received the green paper from the department, and a task team will be set up to deal with that. Chair, the Public Finance and Monetary Policy Workstream, Financial Education and Promotion of Savings. This is really just where social partners have committed to promote savings within the country. A partnership with South African Savings Institute has been launched, and there's various awareness and programs, campaigns around this initiative. In terms of tax compliance, there's also engagement in the chamber around how we improve the level of tax compliance within society. Fiscal policy and national budget processes, this is really just regular engagement with both the Ministry and Treasury around the budgeting process, and we are going to have a ExCo ministerial briefing on the 28th, where the Minister of Finance will come and brief us on the medium-term budget policy statement. Then, Chair, in terms of the financial sector charter, we do have a mandate to monitor the implementation of the financial sector charter, so that work is ongoing. And then in terms of the financial sector policy, really this is around the global financial system and improving the regulatory environment within the global financial system. That's also part of the Chamber's work. So just in terms of special projects, these are the projects that in a sense fall under the office of the Executive Director. They're cross-cutting projects, they're high-level projects. The electricity task team, I suppose, is one of the longest-standing ones. I think this was formed in 2008 following the electricity crisis. A whole range of initiatives had been agreed to this. There's a special task team that is also looking not just to the immediate issues around security of supply, but also long-term looking at the appropriate energy mix for South Africa. The task team's work has taken a bit of a slump, but recently we got the Minister of Energy Affairs, Minister Peters, to come and breathe some new life into this particular process. And out of that engagement with the social partners, we have agreed on a number of processes to take this forward. Particularly in light of the concerns that there's a delay perhaps in Medupi. There are various questions around the build program in terms of renewables and then issues around affordability of electricity. So this is going to become a very important area of activity in the next 3 to 4 months, especially given that I think we still have a Section 77 outstanding on this particular issue. Then there's the National Project to Reduce Poverty and Inequality in South Africa. This was, I think, previously the Poverty Reduction Action Plan. Again, there's a task team that's dealing with this. The NEDLAC review is a matter that is outstanding from previous years. And this is really where a report has been commissioned to do an overall review of the organizational structure and make recommendations around how best we, if you want, retool NEDLAC to deal with the challenges of the future. The Decent Work Country Program I've already alluded to, that forms part of the Special Works Project. And then there's the new Growth Path Social Dialogue Process. And this is, again, an area that is going to, from a NEDLAC point of view, we need to monitor very closely. It is being driven by the Ministry of Economic Development, Minister Patel, but it is something that, as from a NEDLAC point of view, we have to link in very, very closely. Chair, then just to flag around the Section 77 applications, the new applications that were received for the year under review, there was the electricity tariff increase one, and that was from, I think, mainly COSATU, regarding the concerns with the proposal for increases in electricity tariffs. And that Section 77 application is still pending. So we need to try and make progress in this task team to try and address the issues that have been raised. There was also a Section 77 which was referred by Solidarity regarding the inability of the SAPS to combat crime efficiently. This matter now is with that particular trade union, and we're waiting for them to come back. So the issue is in abeyance for now. And then also a further Section 17 regarding the quality of water. And that is also pending, and we would need to fast-track engagement around this with the social partners. Chair, I think I'm just going to stop there for a while and ask Umesh just to run us through the financials briefly, and then I'll just make a few concluding remarks.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. I'm pleased to announce that NEDLAC achieved a clean audit for the past 5 years, and we only had one emphasis of matter, which pertained to restatement of prior year figures, and this particular issue was regarding the cost of our land and buildings where we situated at in Rosebank. It was due to a change in an accounting standard where a grant that was received from the Department of Labour was used to set off the cost, and they wanted us to subsequently bring that grant into account to show the correct value of what the land and building in Rosebank is actually made up of. We received a grant of 15 million, and you will notice that in the prior year it was 19 million, and that's because we had applied to the Department of Labour for you can call it a bridging grant of an additional 5 million rand, which was granted to us, and we must thank the Department of Labour for that. Over the previous years, funding has always been an issue for NEDLAC, and I'm very pleased to to say that for the new financial year 2011-2012, the Department of Labor has increased our grant from 15.8 million to 24 million. So that's going to help us quite a bit. So we'd like to say thank you to the Department of Labor. We received a net deficit of 384,000 for the year. And other than that, Chairperson, we had a clean audit report and there are no further issues. You may continue.
So I think just to finish off by looking at some of the big challenges facing us in the policy environment, clearly the issue of economic growth is a fundamental issue, and how this now is going to be impacted on by the adverse global situation is a serious problem, and the potential sovereign debt crisis, as well as the danger, and we're hearing quite worrying signals from the Minister of Trade and Industry that South Africa may well be on a tipping point in terms of deindustrialization. So this is the context that we're going into in the new year. And I think with the attendant dangers that this brings in terms of social instability, and particularly the problems with unemployment of youth and poverty and inequality, these are the issues that are, if you want, the heartbeat of what NEDLAC needs to deal with, but deal with in an urgent and comprehensive way. We also need to deal with the reality that we are struggling with a lack of policy coherence and coordination generally. And so this is a climate change which I think, on the one hand, we are going to find that social dialogue is going to become a lot more important for us to, as South Africans, to solve our problems, but at the same time it's coming under a hell of a lot more pressure. And so how we manage this particular dilemma is going to be quite crucial going forward. So Chair, I think in conclusion, for us it should be not business as usual. I think we certainly need to inject a sense of urgency in the work that we do at NEDLAC, and that's not just as the Secretariat. I think it is talking to the social partners. It is saying that we need to address the way we have the conversation. We need to have a new urgency in the way we try and resolve the problems, in the way that we engage. There's also a danger, I believe, that we get bogged down in a myriad of issues. If we look at the agenda, we quite overextended in terms of our agenda. So there's an urgent need, I believe, that we need to focus on our priority areas. And again, it's to focus as social partners and to focus as a society on which are the issues that we need to address and how we sequence that. Otherwise, there is the danger. Apparently, at the recent labor law conference, one of the old lefty lawyers referred to us not as NEDLAC, but NEDLOC. So I think we want to unblock the NEDLOC. So, and I think that is a responsibility for all of the social partners. And I certainly want to play a role in trying to unblock that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We have a productivity essay. And then after that, we'll engage with all the presentations.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to be productivity assistant. We've got members of our board present in the form of myself, Mr. Jonas Mosia, and Mr. Semoro Toba, our management team, led by our new CEO, appointed last week, Mr. Bongani Toka. So I'm sure that members of the committee will be happy to hear that we've been singing that song also for long. Nevertheless, we are just quickly going to give the presentation outline. We'll talk through the mandate, structure and governance, who is Productivity SAE, vision, mission, strategic thrust, program focus, finance, highlights, future priority areas, and we will see where we can cut all the corners to expedite the presentation. Maybe just from the mandate side, task with the responsibility, Productivity SAE task with the responsibility of improving productivity in South Africa, and to serve the interests of government, business and labour from that perspective. On the structure and governance side, we're a Schedule 3 organisation, and this tripartite organisation, we have said, well, has been drawn from government, business and labour, but from a governance viewpoint, we are ticking well. All committees have been functioning regularly, and you will see in our annual report we has got reporting as per King 3 of directors' emoluments, which we think is quite an achievement. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honourable members of the board. I'll be taking you through the presentation of Productivity SAE, and as requested, I'll try to be as quick as possible. In terms of describing who we are, Productivity SAE is an organization for South African businesses, industries and general public, and what do we do that by advising, implementing program, we monitor our solutions and we evaluate progress in order to promote a more competitive South Africa. So we believe that high levels of productivity leads to high level of competitiveness, which is what our economy needs. And then the vision of Productivity SAE is to lead and inspire a productive and competitive South Africa. So we don't do all the work, but we also inspire other people to be productive so that the economy can grow. And then in terms of our mission, it explains what we are doing. We improve the productivity of South Africa by advising. So we don't stop at advising where there's a need be. We implement programs through hand-holding. And we monitor our solutions because productivity has got measurements and we can track the progress and we are able to evaluate our progress. And then in terms of strategic thrust, we have a number of areas that we are focusing on. The first one being enterprise productivity and competitiveness, which deals with enterprises that are stable and we help them to become world-class through best practices. And we also look at micro small enterprise productivity capabilities because we believe that they can play a role in terms of job creation. And then we also believe that if you assist the public sector to become more efficient, then we can unblock the blockages which we sometimes encounter in our economy. And because we are a knowledge organization, we take care of knowledge management, and we also conduct research that is designed to ensure that South Africa debates issues that are related to productivity and competitiveness. And we also go around ensuring that there is productivity awareness in the economy, as some of you would notice what we're doing in the month of October. And then in terms of our program focus, I'll start with the first one, which is turnaround solution. It's the biggest of all our programs because it looks at saving jobs. And then the objective of this program is an intervention which delivers turnaround and contingency plan for companies that are faced with the risk of financial ruin, extensive job losses, and sustainability challenges. So we believe that through our research, it's better to save a job because saving a job, according to our model, costs about 2,000 rand, but we have proven that creating a job takes as much as 70,000 and takes longer simply because there's infrastructure in place, there's management, there's product. So it may just be a question of either tweaking the competitiveness challenges that that organization may be having. And then in terms of this program, which is part of the social plan, it's got three phases. And we've indicated that the first phase, which is turnaround solution, is conducted internally within Productivity SAE, while managing retrenchments is done within the Department of Labour, as well as phase three. So whenever we engage with the unions, we work with the Department of Labor when we create awareness in terms of our role, which is dealing with the retrenchment, and the role that is played by the Department of Labor, which is managing retrenchments. And then in terms of the stages, as you can see that this is an indication of the program that Productivity SA is having, is through that bar, which indicates that we assist initially companies that are on a startup. So we have a program that have companies that have just started, and we also have a program that assists SMMEs that have just been established, and we also assist companies that are stable to become world class. And in a situation where a company is struggling and it's on the decline, we are able to assist it such that it doesn't decline and end up with major job losses. And then in terms of our turnaround solution, for cost effectiveness purposes, we tend to accept applications from companies that are employing 50 or more, but we also know of other areas where the level of unemployment is low, and we cluster those companies, and we are able to accommodate companies that are employing less than 50 people, but we are strict with our criteria when it comes to Western Cape, Gauteng, and KZN. And then in terms of the outcomes of this program, once you turn around a company, productivity improves, profitability improves, it also improves company performance through better marketing, because there are instances where it's just an issue of marketing, financial strategies that are put in place, and HR and operations. And what we always do when we embark on this intervention, we also ensure that we leave better communication between management and labor, which is key to sustainable productivity improvement. Because we're saving jobs, it obviously leads to job security. And what we leave behind is their ability to establish early warning system, such that they should see those red flags coming up before it's too late, and they can do something about it or call for our assistance. And then in terms of our work that has been done in the sector, as can be expected, most of the interventions are in the agricultural sector because of the automation that tends to take place. Civil and construction were about 37, understandable, because last year we, with the boom in the construction industry arising from the World Cup, one was expecting some job losses subsequent to those construction. And we will always have a huge number coming from the manufacturing, because it's one of the largest sectors, as well as clothing and textile. We know the challenges that we get from cheap imports that are coming from China. And then in terms of deliverables for this program, we need to look at slide 17 in conjunction with slide 18. What we intended achieving was 140 future forum. We met ourselves with future forum because that's the first milestone. We don't start with our intervention until a company has agreed on the sign-off of the management labor collaboration, because we believe that it enhances trust and it ensures that there's ownership. And then we intended achieving 140, but what happened with this program is because we had relied on NSF funding, which was previously part of the Department of Labor, with it moving to higher education, we were damned, and we were lucky to get funding from UI, which only came in August. So currently this program is funded by UI. So last year it operated only for about half the year, but we still were able to make an impact. So out of 140 future forum, we created 108, and we're able to save over 15,000 jobs, which was covered in the report that was presented by the DG. So I'll leave out other deliverables and then go to the next slide, which is a better measure of how the program performed, because this is a measurement based on the allocated funding, because UI made two transfers, and with these two transfers we committed to certain achievable. So we said we will establish 104 future forum, and we're able to achieve 108 future forum, and with the 15,000 jobs that I earlier referred to. And then in terms of the amount of funds that we received from UI, as you will see, we got the first funding
which covered the period August to December, amounting to about 15 million, and the second funding from December to March, amounting to about 18 million. And when you look at our income statement and balance sheet, you will see the impact of this transfer. And then the next program is Productivity Organizational Solution. And the objective of this program is an assessment and productivity training program. As Productivity SA, we believe that we should not give a pill to everyone that's sick, but we start with an assessment. So we have a very strong assessment center that identifies where the challenges are within the company, and we therefore are able to implement the correct training. So this program is also looking at knowledge and skill capacity to become a more competent asset to their organization. It is also a short-term intervention program for productivity projects. And then this program has got four components. The first one, as I indicated, is the assessment center. And a big component of this is training, education and training, small enterprise development, as well as productivity improvement projects. And then in terms of this, the program outcomes of this program is that is the increased number of intermediaries facilitating the spread of productivity competencies. We believe that given the limited funding that we are having, we need to leverage on using intermediaries. So these intermediaries that we train, then they can also be able to train other SMMEs. And we also look at generating and disseminating knowledge and key productivity drivers and challenges. And we also aim at increased number of educators, learners, ETD service providers, and SDF with enhanced productivity competencies and mindset. We believe in inculcating productivity mindset, as well as generating and disseminating knowledge and key productivity drivers and challenges. And the other outcome is increased number of public sector organizations that have benefited, enhanced public sector efficiency and effectiveness, increased productivity levels among a number of small enterprises, as well as build productive capabilities of micro small enterprises. In terms of the performance of this department, out of ETD service providers, they trained 406, 3,000 SMMEs. There was 1 month where not much was done, especially during the World Cup, where we couldn't get enough number of people to train, but we got very close to achieving the target. And then training of workers, we're able to train 617 out of 500 workers, and we didn't do that well in terms of skills development facilitators, owing to lack of partnership with the teachers which we are working on. And then in terms of number of government workers trained, we trained about 109. This year we are looking internally and working with the various branches of the Department of Labor, and we've started exceeding this number, so we found a better way of dealing with this. And then in terms of implementing productivity improvement project, we have started last year with Sheltered Employment Fund. The goal is to help 2 factories per year. We did the first 2 last year, and we are working on the second 2 this year. And then we are also on our way to finalizing the licensing of external service providers. As indicated, that we also want other people out there to be our ambassadors of what we are doing. And then the next program is Value Chain Competitiveness, which has got 4 components. One of the components was covered in the DG's report, which is the workplace challenge. And we conduct research that is aiming at informing South Africans about challenges that are related to productivity and competitiveness. And we have 2 other units that are linked, which is information technology, which support our knowledge management. And then the strategic objective of this program is to support for performance and increased level in the productivity and competitiveness of South African companies. So we want to ensure that South African companies become world-class. We also initiate and conduct cutting-edge research and coordinate knowledge management processes and practices. And we are also custodian of choice of productivity-related information and knowledge. So whenever there's a talk about productivity and competitiveness, we want to be the first port of call. And then lastly, managing information technology and computer systems. And then in terms of research, it looks at information and knowledge generation to influence policy debate and decision making by investors. As some of you will notice that this month we've been in the media and we've been talking about the issue of productivity and competitiveness of the economy. We want to influence the decision making and get people talking about issues that are hampering our competitiveness. And then in terms of the program performance, we've done research on labor legislation. We've also done a research on efficiency and productivity in the use of municipal land for economic development. Productivity is not only limited to labor productivity, but we also look at how we are using land to create jobs and make sure that it's optimally utilized. We conduct land audits in selected municipalities, and one of the areas in which we're focusing on is Mpumalanga, as was recommended by members of parliament, that is a neglected area. And then we also have had an opportunity to look at competitiveness indicators of the economy. We want to continuously look at how we are assessed as the economy and debate those issues and find solutions. And then in terms of other areas, we've also done a study on public sector productivity and performance, and the draft was completed and submitted to Department of Public Service and Administration for their input. We've also done research to evaluate impact of WPC in the view to improve its effectiveness. And we want to make sure that workplace challenge is making the required impact. And this study was requested by Department of Trade and Industry, which is funding this project. And then we've also done development of minimum norms and standards for reward and recognition in the UIF. This study was requested by UI. We've submitted proposal and we are awaiting approval by UI. And there were concerns around the amount of work that we wanted to do and the cost thereof. So we've looked at refining the scope and reducing the amount involved. So we should be able to do that study in the current financial year. So there's also a study on best practice in public employment policy. So that research report was completed and discussed with the relevant stakeholders. And then the next program is the Workplace Challenge, whose aim is to improve productivity and competitiveness of enterprises. So here we're looking at stable enterprise and making sure that they're world-class. The new focus is to increase the competitiveness and therefore employment in the previously underdeveloped regions of the country. So it's also talking to the concern that was previously raised by honorable members of parliament that there are certain regions that are neglected. And then in terms of performance, this program has done very well. In terms of enterprise that we set to look at, the target was 64. We exceeded that target. We dealt with 141 enterprises. Capacity building workshops, we planned for 6. Through partnerships, we were able to achieve 30. And then 15 participating projects, we achieved 18. And then participation user group and clusters by year end, we had achieved 25 out of 20. And then in terms of train and coach change facilitators, over every 5 years, we bring in people that we can coach, you can go out there and become ambassadors. So in the current financial year, out of 10, we train 10 change facilitators, and we are planning to do 2 interns, and we're able to do 1. And then we're also able to work with 224 enterprises that were facilitated by these change facilitators. And then the next aspect deals with marketing and communication. This has become also a very important component of the organization, given the fact that we want to increase awareness about productivity. So it's got 3 components. I won't go into detail, but the first one is to inspire South Africa towards greater productivity achievement. The second one is to build the legacy for productivity SA, and the third component to build appropriate relationship between productivity SA and stakeholders. And then the outcomes of this program is create awareness of the importance of productivity and competitiveness. So this we do, for an instance, via seminars. And then we also try to create association of productivity concept with productivity SA. When people want authority on productivity, they need to refer to productivity SA. South Africans embrace the concept of productivity that leads to change in behavior. so not only in workplace, but also in their individual life. And entrench brand awareness that lead to a strong brand equity. So we want to measure our brand and see how much it has grown as a result of this awareness. And we also want to be the forefront of productivity thinking and discuss when there's a need to change a policy, when there's a need to look at economic growth, we want to be the organization that is looked upon to make a contribution. And then in terms of how this program has performed, one of the things we are proud of is that much as previously the committee raised concern about us being unknown and having to do something about it, we set ourselves a target of 80 media articles, and we achieved 183. And it's because, to a large extent, last year we were able to come up with a campaign that is linked to the World Cup, where we're able to educate South Africans about how they can deal with the adverse effects of a World Cup and still be able to achieve high levels of productivity. So we did not only get attention locally, but we also got international attention. And even in the current financial year, we're still doing well in terms of media coverage, which is suggesting that awareness about productivity is on the increase. And then every year we have a productivity month. We also have a regional productivity awards, and at the end of every October we have national productivity awards. So this year we intended having six regional awards, but we are only able to do five because our negotiations with the MEC for Economic Development in Limpopo slowed down because of his absence, but we're looking at having, no, not Limpopo, but Mpumalanga. So we're looking at covering Mpumalanga in the next financial year. And then we've also revamped our website, and we're also advocating productivity through our annual report as well as productivity magazines. And then these are also other ways in which we make ourselves known through print and electronic media. We run awareness workshops in various regions. We run regional newsletters. And then what has also improved, which is key to making ourselves known and as well as making up for the limited funding that we're getting. So we also look at going to economic development in various provinces and starting a relationship. So we are now having a relationship with KZN, Limpopo, Western Cape, and in the current financial year, we're also able to bring in Port Elizabeth Chamber of Business, Northwest African Chamber of Commerce, SACI, and Durban Chamber of Commerce. So these stakeholders assist us in terms of giving us the numbers that we are looking for and people we want to influence, as well as co-funding our projects. And then the next project is the support project, which is human resources, where it looks at recruitment. And we are happy to say that we are doing well. We have one of the lowest vacancy rates due to the fact that people are able to go to our website and apply. And then in terms of talent management, we have improved our ability to retain staff. We have succession plan in place. We identify people with potential. We have quite a number of people that have been promoted as a result of being developed internally. And we focus on training and development because we sell our skills, so we have to make sure that we have cutting edge. And then we also build a performance culture. Annually we do a climate and cultural survey, which has always been on the improve. And we have also come up with culture and values within the organization, and we have a strong performance management system. And on the other hand, we have sound labor relations. We don't have many cases where people are raising grievances as well as having to discipline people. And it's because of the culture that we've created, which is collaboration between management and labor, as well as a performance management system, which is visual, where everybody can buy in and increase teamwork. And then in terms of finance and administration, in terms of the rundown of our funding, you will see that a grant in the year under review amounted to 31.1 million. And then the funding for turnaround solution, which we received from UIF, was 34 million. And then we also get funding for our workplace challenge, which comes from DTI, which is to the tune of 11.5. And in terms of percentage, you will see that the grant in the year 9-10, for the year ending 2009-2010, it was the same amount as the amount that we received for turnaround solution, with a smaller component relating to workplace challenge. And what is continuously growing is the funding relating to turnaround solution, with the grant dropping, and with the rand value of the amount that DTI is paying to workplace challenge remaining stagnant. And then in terms of our income statement, I'll run through it very quickly. We've had a small growth in revenue, which is as a result of increase in the money that we received from UI, as well as the amount of grant that has been adjusted. And then what you also need to look at, as well, I'll run through the big numbers. If you look at the compensation of employees, it didn't increase significantly because we didn't increase staff complement significantly. So the difference is mainly the salary increase. And then what is also noticeable is that goods and services amount has also didn't increase the same way as in the previous financial year. The funding was received late in the year and we were reluctant to spend. But the positive news is that we ended up with a healthy balance at the end of the financial year, which can also be seen in the balance sheet. So our balance sheet shows that we ended the year with a 12.1 million in our bank account, owing to the 18 million that was only received in the last quarter, which we're able to use in the next financial year to kickstart our programs. So I'll move on and look at the highlights of productivity. So stakeholder partnership in poor performing provinces. So here we were referring to areas that are under service, not that those provinces are underperforming. So we're referring to us that we're under servicing those provinces, which is Northwest, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. So we've started stakeholder management, which will support us in those programs. And then we're able to save more than 15,500 jobs, which we thought was a good achievement. And then continuing partnership with provincial economic department, we are able to host productivity awards in those provinces because of the support that we are getting from the economic department plus our funding. And what we are also experiencing is the lowest labor turnover. As per our annual report, you will notice that we only had 6% resignation, which is the lowest in 10 years' time, meaning we are able to retain. And what has also improved is our ability to recruit. Of the two executives that we have just recruited, we didn't have to go through the employment agent, but they were able to apply through our website, which is an indication that the organization is able to attract people from outside without us having to battle. And then adequate representation of women in senior position. Out of the five executives, three are women, so hence we're doing so well. And then we also have partnership. We also are having partnership with South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry, which has been instrumental in terms of getting us companies that we can train, companies we can turn around, etc. And then what we also were able to achieve last year was that productivity is now included in the AU agenda through the drive that we've been having, because in the past we used to try and encourage African countries, but this time around went through the AU, and AU has adopted productivity in the agenda. 2 weeks ago we were invited in Ethiopia, where productivity staff trained 8 African countries who are planning to establish their own national productivity organization. Okay, the chairperson has alerted me to introduce my two colleagues. Who is Rebecca, our marketing executive, as well as Silo Musai, who's doing research. What we're also able to do this month is we've been able to receive a lot of attention around issues of competitiveness, and Silo had an opportunity to speak on Morning Live last week around issues of productivity and competitiveness. Thank you very much.
Okay, maybe just in conclusion, Chair, on the 24th of October, 28th of October, we're having our national awards evening gala and we want to announce to the House if any of the honourable members could make it for the 28th. The Minister will be, Minister of Labour will be our guest speaker on the evening, but it is quite useful to get to these gatherings to see exactly how productivity in action is happening on the ground. Thank you. It would be in Matra and Gallagher Estates.
Thank you very much, productivity. Thank you, thank you. It's an inspiring presentation. Honorable members, it's time to engage with all the presentations that were given, the last three. We've got 30 minutes to do this. Honorable Hanan.
I'm taking the minutes.
Oh, I'm representing the
minority. Do I look like a minority? Can I start with my conversation of your slide? Which might not be 25 in terms of the way I saw it. Because you, I hope that DG will respond to this. Because the, I assume that these are leaders, they are structured to you. And they are still waiting for the approval of that structure. Will you indicate about when are you going to approve or decline the structure or amend the structure? And the on page 27, that you had about 1.2 billion. To assist companies which are in distress, and the actual expenditure was only 6.5 million. Are there any applications which you rejected, or you only spend money on those who asked for assistance? And that one is not for the UI. Under productivity SA. On slide, I think 16, if I'm, yeah, slide 16, you listed the sectors in which you had an intervention. And I think that relates to your annual report, page 18, if I'm not wrong. I just want to know, what impact did this intervention have in these different areas? It's very, it's clear that you, under your case studies, you only listed two cases. I would have preferred to say that when you mentioned listed the numbers, that you actually say, in this particular province, these are the companies which we have dealt with, because in terms of numbers, I will not, if we do oversight, we will not be able to go to number 6 in Northwest. We will be able to go to a particular company. And when you mention your targets, you always overachieve in terms of your targets. Who set up these targets? Because sometimes people set the targets so that they can overachieve, you know. But if it's done externally, you are able to say, or maybe you have got a method which is very objective in setting up these particular targets. That's why you overachieve. You dealt with the issue of the regional awards. On page 54 of your annual report, I understand. What other action did you take to try and get into other provinces without necessarily going through government departments? Like, for instance, almost every town I know has got some sort of a chamber of commerce or some NAPO. So they probably have a lot of shops. Sure. And under goods and services expenditure for, I think the last year, your expenditure went down, and you said it's because you received the money late. Didn't you have a plan on issues around which the money was going to be spent, that even if you achieve, even if you receive the money late, you still have got to spend on based on your own targets?
Thanks, Honorable Negemba.
I'm his shop steward. On NEDLAC, the Merchant Shipping Act, the last time I heard about this, it appeared that there are challenges in terms of the amendments that are in NEDLAC, and within those amendments, certain provisions are below the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, and I know that's not the Department of Labour that is directly involved, it's the Department of Transport. But I think as a result of NEDLAC as an institution identifying areas in amendments which will affect workers, have you ever brought in the Department of Labour in order to deal with those matters? Because obviously, if there will be amendments that will involve workers, if anything that comes as a result of that process will be below the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, really is a problem. I just wanted to check that. You see, Honorable Khanar was saying these awards that you were talking about, Productivity SA, now you said they are going to take place in Midrand. And he was whispering with me as to whether people in Polar Park and Alexander, will they be able to attend and see these things, right? These events that normally take place where only people with cars who can simply attend those. I know it's on a light, but I think also, I think there's an approach by Parliament that we need to take a Parliament to the people. So it can be only Parliament that arrange events where people can walk to a venue and see these things. And then yourself, departments and entities, you will only in the have these events where only Honorable Khanara will attend without me, because I don't have a car. Then he has a car, then he will attend that. I'm looking at whether are you looking at that, because really it does in a way disadvantage those who are already disadvantaged. Thank you, Chair, in your absentia. I've seen him talking to you. Thank you.
The situation is not as probably reflected, that structure has been approved by the minister. That's where things stand. Stands in so far as the question of the organizational structure affecting the unemployment insurance fund, if the structure has been approved.
Just maybe to clarify that the reporting period is until the 1st of March 2011. The approval was after the reporting period. With regard to the telling of schemes, it's correct that what was spent was 6.5 million, but the agreement that we entered into was 21.9 million. Of course, you're correct, there were rejections, and the rejections are because the requirements, some companies do not meet the requirements. One of the requirements is that submit audited financial statements so that you can verify that there was a crisis, there's a decline in your revenue. But the other one is assurance given by companies that they are not going to retrench workers. If they cannot give that assurance that they're not going to retrench, then we can't assist them there. The other one is that there must be a turnaround time within the period. At that point, it was 3 months, and we extended it to 6 months. So if a company is not going to have a turnaround, then we will reject an application. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the questions. I'll start with the first one, which says, what impact did they have? And also to make a commitment to submit more details about what we've done is, we've looked at this program that turns around companies, and we said it's a major project for our stakeholders. We need to do a thorough analysis of the outcomes. So we do have a report for this period under review, which will show you the sectors covered, the provincial spread, as well as impact that this program has had. And you will also be able to look at the case studies which mention the name of companies, where it will indicate that this was the level of employment when we got in, so these were the jobs at stake. After our turnaround solution, what is the level of profitability, how many jobs are preserved, how many additional jobs have been improved. Just to run quickly what this program outcome is, the impact that it will show you improved profitability. It will show improvement in company performance through better marketing, financial strategies. It will show you that you would hear employees saying that through this program, we now have a voice because management can now listen to what we have to say. So there would be an improvement in the culture. And there's also the issue of job security. Now they feel more secured because information is shared and they know how the organization is performing. And then with regard to achievements, how do if you claim that you've overachieved, how do you set your standard? You set your standard looking at the available hours, available resources, and you say within these are the best practices. If you are training, for an example, you allow time for preparation, you allow days for training, and you allow a day for writing the report. So you know that if you have so many resources, so many days can be occupied conducting training. And if those benchmarks have not been achieved, therefore we have underachieved. So it's objective, and we also take those targets and we get the board to interrogate and support. And then with regard to regional awards, I think because of time I was rushing through, I did not give you adequate information. So I only mentioned the provincial economic development. And in one of the slides, I made mention of a major break with SACI. So through partnership that we have with South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry, we are getting a lot of support from the chambers who do not only arrange for our functions, but they pay. If you want to go and deal with the research report, they will get to the audience, they will pay, and you only simply do the presentation. And with regard to the productivity awards, we for the Western Cape, we had Western Cape Chamber of Commerce. In the Eastern Cape, we had Port Elizabeth Chamber of Commerce. In KZN, we also had KZN. Pietermaritzburg is also supportive. And then in Northwest, we had Northwest African Chamber of Commerce. Last week, I started discussions with the Bloemfontein one. Bloemfontein is not on board in terms of the economic development and chamber. But those are the kind of partnerships that we put in place. We also try and get CETAs in place. And one of the improvements as well that we are having is that we are also getting CEDA in various provinces supporting our project, because much as they are into SMME, we don't occupy the same space. So they've realized that their work complements our work. And then with regard to goods and services, and the question, did we not have a plan? Yes, we did anticipate that we were going to get money. But we've learned the hard way. In the past, we would also rely on contracts signed in terms of making extra commitment. But in the year 2008, we got an emphasis of the matter, because based on the contracted amount, we went on to make commitment, and the money didn't come in the same financial year. So it affected our financial well-being. So based on that, we commit on money relating to the grant because we know it's guaranteed. But with money relating to UI as well as DTI, we know that they are under no obligation. There are certain things they look at before they can release the funds. So we only commit once those funds are in our bank account. So consequently, because of that cautious approach, we end up with a certain amount of surplus. And then with regard to our services not being accessible in previously disadvantaged areas, I want to assure the committee that through our partnership, we are able to go to those areas. Actually, our SMME development, most of it are those in the previously disadvantaged community. We've done training in Kwakwa. We are currently doing training in Soshanguve. We've done various training in Soweto, etc. So we do go to those areas. But with regard to productivity awards, what informs it is people that have participated in the awards and the accessibility of the venue. But the fact that we do awards in areas such as mid-range does not necessarily mean that our services are not accessible to people in the previously disadvantaged community. And what we intend doing as well is one slide that I left out, which you will see because it's something we are working on. We want to demonstrate an impact. So one of the areas that we're looking at in the current financial year is demonstrating impact of our services. And part of demonstrating impact is we will be able to show how many women have benefited from our services, work with organizations like SAWEN, how many people from disadvantaged communities have benefited, how many people have benefited in the previously neglected provinces such as Free State, Northwest, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. So that information we will be able to provide at the end of the financial year, because those are our focal areas. Thanks.
On the issue of the Maritime Shipping Act, which has got some contradiction with the BCA, there was a bill put by the Department of Transport at NetLink, but they withdraw it in the middle of the negotiation. And we spent a lot of time trying to convince the Department of Transport to come back on this issue. They have come back with a deal again at NetLink, and there's a lot of progress that was made. They changed the delegation, and we think that we should finish that process by the end of this year. Therefore, there is movement at the stage now. All the blockages have been unblocked through the intervention of the Minister and the Minister of Transport on those issues. Well, the chairperson has asked me to express the committee's gratitude for your presence and your stay despite what looked like lunch. It was not really that you remained in the meeting, and some of the members of the committee walked out because of that. And I'm playing but basically the chairperson has just asked me to express his gratitude that we are all here and probably you answered the questions very well without feeling threatened, being under attack, especially when the disease of KwaZulu-Natal. But the chairperson is going to make some announcement, and we'll conclude and on my behalf, thanks for answering my questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Hanan. TG, the SCF, Sheltered Employment Factories, will call a meeting before the end of this year, you know, to meet with you and management, so that we can, you know, look into SCF, what kind of support do they need, and what is it that we need to do to help them, including even looking at their legal status, you know, what is the legal status of the entity. I think that will be much helpful, rather than try to discuss SCF when the, you know, I think let us leave it at that. Say this matter will be dealt with in the near future. The department and entities are released. The members of the committee will remain. We still have a budgetary review and recommendations report that we need to go through, and even looking at the fourth quarter, the last quarter program. Thank you very much. We are working overtime tonight.
No, thank you very much.
TJ.
So when can I give you the stuff?